it's the start of a brand new work week. And lots of sunshine and heat coming our way here. Hope you had a great weekend. There are sure a lot of people strolling through garden centers or out mowing the lawn, planting flowers. And man, it's starting to look a whole lot greener and prettier too. A lot of the tree blossoms look awesome everywhere. It's too bad they're so short-lived, some of those trees that blossom as they do. The pink petals already starting to fall, and it is just a terrific time of the year. It's starting to turn around for us here. We're not even officially summer, but it's getting better slowly but surely. A massive turnout for the Cathedral Village Arts Festival Street Fair, particularly Saturday. And the next big event is coming up, not this weekend, but the weekend after, June 5th through 7th. Mosaic is going to be back with all the pavilions too. So lots to see and do. It's nice to roll into a weekend where there's always something going on to entertain yourself. Saturday, I was MC at the Alzheimer's Fundraising Walk. We successfully raised more than $59,000, which was awesome. More on that to come. But as I walked up to our site in front of the ledge Saturday afternoon, I looked over, and on the steps of the ledge, there was just a steady stream of students all gowned up, guys in their tux rentals. It's graduation season. Lots of grad photos were being taken on the steps of the ledge, too. It's just that time of the year. And, well, the pools aren't open yet, but the spray pads did open on the weekend. And we got a lot of great kids' reviews when we popped by.
I like it.
Running along with my friends.
And there's, like, holes in the ground that spray water. And there's, like, things that you can turn and they spray water.
There's a dragon that's spraying water out of its mouth.
I like the mist on the dragon's tail.
Running around with my friends.
Would you come back?
Yes.
Yeah, so great reviews, and in a few weeks from now, the outdoor pools will be open, too, around the city as well. And, of course, our Saskatchewan Rough Riders kept season ticket holders in line, if you will, on Saturday. Later, I'll get into this a little more. My neighbor is a huge Rider fan and a season ticket holder, and she was describing to me how long the lineups were. It didn't go well. They were having a season ticket kickoff party, and doesn't sound like they had enough people working at it. But my neighbor, Donna, she'll be popping by a little later on to give us a review. There was some good. There was some bad, but she's fair. She's honest. She's a Rider fan. No touchdowns were scored in the preseason game as the Riders lost 15-9. It was all field goals, and green zone callers afterwards generally found something to be impressed by.
I gotta say, I liked our special teams. McCray looked really good. I mean, I think we have a dynamic duo back there if Mario remains with the squad. Then I'm not gonna lie, offensively, we looked flat. I mean, it's to be expected. It's preseason. You can't expect much. I will say, though, you can tell that Cone's in his second year compared to Mayer being in his first year with this offense. Personally, I think Cone played a way better game today than Mayer did. Our defense looked phenomenal. Ford looked phenomenal. You just saw him. He was there every single play in that first quarter. And there's just, I'm going to be shocked if we don't have a top three defense in the league this year.
It was your typical preseason, but I'm a little worried about our punting game.
Best thing I got out of this whole game is we got the best quarterbacks in the league. And I haven't felt this good since we had Clarice as our starter and Fajardo as our backup. That punter, though, and that other kicker that kicked a line drive like that, I've never even seen a kick like that in my life.
Hey, the Riders are back in Regina this week to finish up training camp. And I heard from Jamie Nye on the Green Zone and the rest of the crew, they were pretty impressed by Jackson Ford, who seems to be pushing Nelson Lacombo for that safety spot. Dre McCray, returner, had some nice returns, I heard. Apparently none of the quarterbacks really looked outstanding, but I don't think a lot of people are concerned yet. Receiver Keyshawn Johnson had catches for 14 yards, and then another for 16 in the first half. He led the team. A.J. Ouellette, who's lighter, leaner, and meaner. Man, he looks good. He got a nice run there for 21 yards at 1.2. So hey, it's only preseason. Another one coming up on Friday, and then the Thursday season opener next week, too. So it's nice to have football back.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
You know, I was just thinking about the Rider preseason game on the weekend. and how going into that game, there were some fans having fun thinking, oh, the season is cursed now. And if you're wondering why some are saying that, it's because of Canadian rapper Drake. He was spotted wearing a diamond-encrusted Ryder logo on Instagram on Friday through social media. One of Drake's latest dirty hex jobs was putting a million-dollar bet on the Leafs, right, to win Game 7. You know what happened there? They lost. Last year, the rapper bet on the Oilers to win the Cup and the Dallas Mavericks to win the NBA Finals. Both lost. Drake is a curse. But at least he had some fun with it in a podcast to address what he thinks about everyone saying he's a bad luck charm for their team.
I feel like I don't play sports, so whether I pick the wrong team or not, you know, if I could get out there on the field and win for all your favorite teams, I would. But no, the Drake curse is funny to me, honestly. First of all, the Raptors won a championship, so nobody can ever talk to me about the Drake curse. Toronto Raptors are NBA champions, so if there was a Drake curse, Kawhi would have never hit that shot. We would have never beat the Warriors. There is no Drake curse, but it's funny, though. I am a flawed sports bettor. I will not deny that. Like, that's not my gift. So I'm sure if you're a Drake curse believer, there'll be plenty more content in the future for you to confirm your theories. But one day I'm going to have a parlay that's insane, and then everybody's just going to be like, shh, on quiet mode.
Sure, Drake, but until then, can you just lose the diamond encrusted Ryder logo? I think it is a curse. And don't bet on my Oilers. I know they will win the Stanley Cup. I've said it all along. They will meet the Panthers again. But please, Drake, don't do anything stupid here. Hey, I just want to say what a pleasure it was to MC the IG Wealth Management Walk for Alzheimer's on Saturday afternoon. The need for fundraising continues to grow. Today, there are over 20,000 people living with dementia here in Saskatchewan, and we're expecting to see that number more than double in the next 30 years here, too. And in the past year alone, the Alzheimer's Society supported over 3,000 individuals, and I'm sure there are many more they could support. They just haven't come forward yet. So in order to provide that support, events like the walk on the weekend or the gala in October that I emcee, it's so vital. And everyone I spoke to at Saturday's walk was there because they were touched by Alzheimer's. They were either caregivers, as I once was for my mom before she passed, or had lost someone to the disease, kids walking for their grandparents. It was awesome. I met Bob Cott. He was there for his grandfather.
Yeah, Grandpa Joe. Yeah, great guy. He was an engineer, you know, the local handyman fix-it guy. He really enjoyed pheasant hunting and bird hunting in the falls. They summered in Texas. And yeah, he was a great, great part of my life, great role model, and I miss him every day.
What was your experience like? Because a lot of people wonder. There are people listening here this morning right now that they just think, oh, there goes mom or dad or grandpa telling the same old story again. There are a lot of signs that people get a notice in advance. It shouldn't be shaken off as old age.
Agreed. And I also think, and this is going to be hard to say, but it's something that maybe not a lot of people want to admit or be, you know, take realization of that a loved one has Alzheimer's or dementia, but the earlier the better to start working on the symptoms, and the more you can prolong their life and live, allow them to live better with.
We haven't solved the problem yet, but we know so much more now to really enhance someone's life as they're going through it. What do we hear today? Over 3,000 people living with dementia right now?
Yeah, 3,300 in the province who were served this year. The number is probably larger than that even, which is heartbreaking, but the society, you know, is doing great work, and I think there's no shortage of work to be done, but there will eventually be a cure that comes, and that's where the fundraising aspect comes in as well.
That's Bob Cott, who was there with me at the Alzheimer's Walk on Saturday, and together we all raised over $59,000 in that walk, so thank you very much. The King is set to arrive today in Canada, and Parliament all set to reopen here. Details ahead with Kevin Martell. Yes, today the nation's capital is gearing up for a historic royal tour. King Charles and Queen Camilla are set to touch down in Ottawa today, kicking off the royals' first visit to Canada since the coronation 2 years ago. So today the two will attend a community gathering in Ottawa. I believe they're planting a ceremonial tree. They're meeting with the Governor General. And then tomorrow the royals will arrive by horse-drawn carriage to deliver their speech from the throne. He will become only the second monarch to do so. Usually it's the Governor General. The King's mother, Queen Elizabeth II, read the speech way back in 1957 and in 1977. And my next guest was at one of those speeches. I'll get to that in a moment. But for some insight into the significance of King Charles' throne speech tomorrow, I'm really happy to be joined now by High Commissioner for Canada and the United Kingdom, Ralph Goodale. Good morning, sir. Thank you for being here. Did you just drop the king off at the airport?
Yes, I did. he left this morning from a Royal Air Force base just outside of London, and I was there to send him off along with Corporal Colin Paul of the RCMP.
Awesome. Well, I mentioned a second ago how the Queen has given the address before. You were at one, a young MP at I believe 1977. That's the one you were there, and I mentioned that because you probably have the best insight into what it's like. So what are we expecting today, sir? Or tomorrow, I guess, when he reads.
Well, there's a lot of ceremony involved, but it really is the pinnacle of the performance of our system of democracy. A new parliament has just been elected. There's a new prime minister in place, a new government in place. There's a minority parliament. And the government is going to lay out its agenda for dealing with the important issues that are before the country right now, both domestically and internationally. And the head of state lays out that agenda. It's written by the government, obviously, but the head of state is the one that delivers the speech. And on this occasion, because of the importance, the historic significance of this occasion, that speech will be delivered by the king himself. And I think that indicates the fact that he's making the special trip to be in Ottawa for this specific purpose. It underlines the importance and the significance of the occasion.
Definitely. Mr. Goodale, the king is reading this speech, obviously the request of Prime Minister Carney. Do you think he asked the king to do this with our sovereignty in mind on purpose to help really send a message to the rest of the political world?
Well, it's an important occasion in itself. As you pointed out, it's rare when the monarch actually does this in person. This will only be the third time in Canadian history. But the world is a turbulent place these days. There are economic issues around the world. There are geopolitical security issues around the world. This is a message of reassurance. It's a message of strength and support. It shows that our system of democracy in a free, independent, sovereign country is functioning very well. And that is an important message to send both to Canadians who need that reassurance and to the rest of the world for anyone else that's watching.
Ralph Goodale, a former Liberal MP right here in Regina, now Canada's High Commissioner to the United Kingdom, is my guest. Sir, you were with the King last week, as I mentioned, at Canada House. What would we be surprised to learn from those moments that you share with the king?
Well, he was obviously, as he always has been, very interested in Canada, very supportive of Canada. He's visited the country 19 times already, but this will be the first visit as head of state, as the reigning monarch. One of the things that we did at Canada House last week was to lay out a huge map on the floor, which was provided by the Royal Canadian Geographical Society, and we showed the juxtaposition of the two countries. Canada is 40 times bigger than the United Kingdom. You could put all of the United Kingdom into the four corners of the province of Saskatchewan. In that space, we have about 1 million people. And in the UK, they have pretty close to 70 million people. So you get the sense of the difference in size, the difference in density, the difference in distance that is intrinsic in how the two countries feel and go about their daily lives. But he was very interested to see all of the places laid out on that map, where he has previously visited. In big urban centers and far-flung rural communities, indigenous communities. He's been to the far north. He's been as far south as Canada goes. So he was just getting a sense of where he's been already and where he will be on this trip and on future visits to Canada. This one is very short, so he will be coming back in the relatively near future. That's always difficult in planning royal agendas, but they're already looking forward to the next visit to Canada when they'll be able to spend more time and travel to more places and meet more Canadians and show that tangible support for
right.
for Canada as a country they really love.
Well, Mr. Goodale, I sincerely appreciate our chat, and as the King arrives slowly but surely here, I bet you're going to arrive sometime this summer because you got to wander and check the green and white out again here in Regina, don't you?
Yeah, I guess that game last night was a little tedious. but good luck to the Riders. Green is the color. You know, there is, they call it football here in the UK, but it really is soccer. There is a soccer team in the London area, Chelsea, that has stolen the Rough Riders song. you know, their color is blue, and they sing about blue is the color. Well, it just doesn't ring well with anybody from Saskatchewan.
I'm going to set up a meeting between you and Sarah Mills, our provincial news director, and she might want to argue with you on this one here, but nonetheless, Ralph, it is a pleasure to have you on the show this morning. I sincerely appreciate your time, and thanks for representing us as Canada's High Commissioner to the United Kingdom.
Glad to do it. And green is the color.
You're a pink pony girl, and you dance at the club, oh mama. I'm just having fun on the stage in my ears.
Well, this is Chapel Road at Pink Pony Club. You probably heard it during the Oiler game yesterday. And if you're wondering why, well, here's the story behind this right now. The Oilers have always been famous lately for playing La Bamba in victory in the memory of their longtime locker room attendant, Joey Moss. He loved that song. They'd often hear it blasted after games. And after Moss passed in 2020, the Oilers kind of adopted La Bamba even more so. And then again, with their super fan, little Ben Stelter, who famously said, "Play La Bamba, baby," during the Oilers' playoff run. He would later pass away from cancer. So the song La Bamba is still great meaning. It's played after victory. But lately, they've been using that song there just in the dying minutes of the game as they claim victory. They did it yesterday against the Stars. Singing that, if you're wondering why, well, it's all about resiliency, that song, and that's what the song stands for. And Chapel Rowan has admitted she wrote and recorded that back in 2019. Her label at the time hated it so much they dropped her off the label, and 5 years later she included it on her debut album to prove a point, and it's a massive hit around the globe, right? So that's the meaning. It's a song about resiliency and not giving up on a dream, and the Oilers feel, hey, they relate to that. And they used the song in celebration, and they were celebrating yesterday. The series tied at one going into that one. The Oilers certainly ready to win at home, even if it was an afternoon game. They scored first and additionally secured the first period with some McMagic.
And here comes McDavid walking in. Back.
Yeah, the Oilers have been succeeding because of their depth, scoring outside of Draisaitl and McDavid. But yesterday, the captain wanted in on all the fun.
McDavid's got it again. To the net. Two for Connor McDavid. And another two goal. Edmonton
lead. Yeah, the fans just kept cheering. You can't complain about the play of Stuart Skinner either. He was red hot. In the third, he made a couple dazzling saves at one end and the other. Zach Hyman away. Usually the way it goes, spectacular save at one end and score at the other. So Hyman and McDavid each scoring two goals. 6-1 the final. They're up 2-1. Game 4 in Edmonton tomorrow at 6 p.m. And, of course, the Eastern Conference final tonight resumes. Canes could be eliminated in a sweep.